Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 18, 2020. World in a frantic whirlpool. We are drowning together in the sea or in the river that is carrying us to a terrible precipice. We have very little time left to cling to the rope or hold our common boat, or more like just a log we are standing on, so that it will not capsize and carry us to the gaping abyss. What kind of life-saving rope is it? The rope is when we hold on to each other and thus hold on to the Creator. The Creator is present, but we can only grasp Him if we support each other. By holding on to each other, we reveal that we are now able to hold on to the Creator. If we do this together, we will undoubtedly get out of the maelstrom into calm waters and everything will be all right. There is no other solution and no other work but to connect between us, to ask the Creator to connect us. When He helps us, we will find the connection with the Creator within our unity. The Creator comes at the end as a general rule. When we and the Creator all together hold on to each other, we will certainly achieve the goal. This goal is in the connection in the ten and the connection between this ten and the Creator. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson March 26, 2020, lesson on the topic Building the Future Society. COVID-19 makes Emmanuel Macron promote worldwide truce. From my Facebook page Michael Leitman April 16, 2020. The coronavirus, or COVID-19, is a stern teacher. It does not speak, but its actions speak volumes. Its lessons are painful, intimidating, and overbearing, but they are forcing us to learn what we should have learned long ago were we not so obstinate, to be considerate of nature and of one another. Lesson number 1. At first, the virus forced us to stay 6 feet apart from one another, as though preventing bullying and physical violence. Then the virus forced us to wear masks, as if shutting our mouths so we would stop humiliating one another verbally. Finally, it told us to stay home altogether because we have exploited and ravaged one another and the earth. Once we confined ourselves to our homes, nature let the animals free and they began to roam where they had never roamed before, in our cities and parks. Nature has reclaimed earth. Our confinement cleaned the water, cleared the air, and that was all that nature needed in order to rejuvenate. Without a word, the virus showed us how damaging we have been to our own planet. It could not stand us any longer, so it locked us up in our own homes. No environmentalist could ever demonstrate so decisively how harmful we had been, and how beautiful the world is when we stay out of the way. Lesson number 2. Now that the superbug has taught us about Earth, it is beginning lesson number 2. Incredibly, French President Emmanuel Macron has initiated an agreement to back a call by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres for a global ceasefire. Even more incredible, his initiative quickly secured the backing of 4 out of the 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council, China, the US, the UK, and of course France. Russia, Macron hopes, is likely to express its support in the coming days. Who would have thought even a few weeks ago that such a notion was even conceivable? If anyone had as much as mentioned an idea of global ceasefire in early March, he would have been ridiculed, disparaged, and openly declared as delusional. But lo and behold, by mid-April, that idea has come to make perfect sense to the leaders of the world's mightiest nations. COVID-19 did not have to utter a single word in order to achieve this feat. Instead, it made us realize that fighting simply makes no sense now. But when did it make sense? Before there was the virus. So, when the virus is gone, will war make sense again? Will people be willing to return to that backward mindset? If they are, would it not be better if we never get rid of the bug? Lesson number 3. After we are taught not to plunder the planet and one another, the virus will teach us its final lesson, to care for one another. We stayed away from each other in order to make it disappear, and we want to stop fighting in order to make it disappear, but it will not leave until it teaches us its final lesson, how we should connect to one another properly. Bit by bit, we will come to see that when we, as a society and as individuals, relate to one another positively, our health becomes increasingly robust. The novel coronavirus crisis is not only a biological crisis, it is first and foremost a spiritual one. It is a transformation from the self-centered spirit with which we treated one another into a spirit of mutual care and concern. This stage in our existence will not happen overnight, but the sooner we begin to work on it, the sooner it will manifest. Then, as in the previous stages, what seems unreal today will seem like the only possible reality. In recent years, there has been much talk about a new world order. Indeed, a new world order is coming, but it is not the domination of a certain group of people or a new world government. The new world order is corrected relationships among all people, it is the progression of the world from a global village to a global family. And this progression is the vaccine we have all been looking for. People are changing. Question: today, great solidarity and mutual guarantee are required in order to understand the situation because people transmit the coronavirus one to another. Moreover, they may not even know they are doing it because they have no symptoms. How do we reach such solidarity? The government demands this from us, but we are all different, each one has their own principles. Answer: very interesting phenomena are appearing in society today, which we did not notice before. We understand that we should stay away from each other, not to sneeze, not to cough, not to talk, and not to approach within 2 meters of each other. We understand that people have their own free space, and we should be separated in our room or apartment. All these states, basically, are not very logical and not very natural for our world because we are used to constantly jostling in the subway, trams, buses, we mix in the streets, etc. And today, if a person sneezes a few meters away from me, I am immediately seized with fear. In general, we see how the state of people has been changed, and it is not imposed by anyone or anything. So, what if you get this virus? In principle, there is nothing to worry about. Are people dying from it? They are. But they die from ordinary flu too. It turns out that a completely different attitude to this state has appeared, and it is as if it is not dictated by any phenomena in our world. It is just that people have become different. They perceive it as if we are in a state of chemical war. From CabTV's Coronavirus is Changing the Reality, March 19, 2020. New Life 1210. The Feminine Power to Bring About Social Change.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the division within the Israeli society and the role of Israeli women as change makers. What can they do in order to connect all of us and make our life a bit better? Be with us, Nitzan, please. Yeah, today we'd like to look upon the power of women and their contribution to the Israeli society. But from a very special angle, because you can look at it from many different angles. But today, we'd like to focus on the power of women and their ability to bring the Israeli society together. There is a big rift, a big division in the Israeli society, and it hurts all of us. And from this pain, we'd like to better understand how can we, as women, make a real change in this society by the special power that women have. To me, it's a wonder, really. I'm surprised. And also, your questions surprise me. Women that at home know how to do whatever they want. Really, they can take the entire family and tell you to do this, he should do that, are you on the couch, get up, do something. They know how to activate everyone. Of course, can't they do it in the country? What's wrong? At home, even without saying a word, her husband already feels uncomfortable if he's sitting for more than 10 minutes in front of the TV. Yeah. In front of his wife, he feels like a child in front of his mother. That's how it is. It's natural. And so why can't women come to where the country is operated from, like in a family, and start managing things? I don't understand what's going on. Why can't a woman be at the head of society? What's the problem? Look, what's the problem is an interesting question we have to examine, but I'll tell you why. Because they're not connected. Not connected between them. Yeah? Meaning they don't have a common goal. No woman can make room for another woman to manage things. And also, it's not supposed to be that way. Were they connected together and would decide that we're taking our men into our hands, you would have had heaven on earth here. Peace, tranquility. What a country would have then. Men would work and would do everything and would have been afraid of what the women might say, might do, so that they'll look at us favorably and so on. I'm telling you, this is how it would be. Seriously. This is how it is by nature. This is how the laws of nature work. The entire problem is that women aren't connected between them. They're in competition. But men are in competition too. Yeah, but men, it's like playing soccer, like they played soccer when they were kids. And for women, it's in a more grown-up way. They want to control, be in power. What's the difference? Men don't really want to be in power and control. For them, it's a game. And for women, it's their nature. And what's the difference between nature and game? A game is a game. It's a big difference. Instead of this game, give him another game. He'll throw it away. So, by nature, what does a woman want to control, be in control of? She wants to control the situation. I have to agree. Completely. A woman wants to be in control, to make sure that everything's stable. And we also need it. Only the problem is that one woman can't do it. But to create the correct network of connections between them, that it will operate correctly and will arrange the entire nation together correctly, this they can't do. There's no consent between them, because women look at each other in a way that, with men it's different. But between women, no. Women, they already have natural hate, rejection, a natural ego. A woman to a woman doesn't work. And that's the problem. So what do we do? Men, they can't arrange the country, because for them it's all a game. And women can't do it, because between them, there's hate and rejection toward each other. It's really interesting what you're saying, because in general, I have lots of respect towards all the organizations that do for women, and usually it doesn't help. All these organizations, and there are many of them, but the result, yeah, we see that there's no big change. or improvement. So, what do we have to add? The salvation of the world is connection between women. What do you mean when you say connection between women? Exactly that. That there has to come some method that will be able to connect between them for all women to be as one woman with one head, one heart, so that the connection between them will be more important than the petty egoistic form that's bustling in each of them. What I'd like to understand is, maybe let's call it the difference between the ability that women have to cooperate in order to win some struggle against someone or something, then in that struggle, they're connected against someone or something. And usually it's against men. There's like this battle of forces. I don't know if instead of the battle of forces or in addition to how to really correctly direct the force that women have, how to direct it correctly so that instead of a battle of forces that will really flourish, that everyone will enjoy it, society, men, women, everyone, because we all want to feel good. What are we doing wrong? If we'd invest our energy in this or in that instead of what we're doing now, maybe it could make a change. You need to connect not in order to suppress someone else, but in order to build out of it a good new home so that all women will care for the country, for their home, for everyone. So you're saying instead of fighting something, let's build something. Of course. And then the struggle is internal. Each woman with herself, meaning not against someone. No, against someone or something, the only thing that it brings is destruction. Okay, now, there's this feeling that characterizes many women, the feeling of deprivation. Then there will be no deprivation. Precisely this way, if women will work together, they will be most powerful, more powerful than men. We say, the man of the house, the head of the family, the husband, the boss. Yeah, the boss. We understand who the boss is. Wherever I traveled in the world, in all different cultures that I have seen, I always used to ask, when women and men were sitting together, I used to ask them, who decides at home? The woman, everywhere, whether it's Indians, Eastern countries, doesn't matter where, who, a woman is home. It says so in Judaism too, that a woman is home. Melchut. Therefore, just to position herself correctly, and then the entire world will fall into place. Everything will be organized. So the only thing that you have to correct in the world is to help a woman function correctly. So this force that exists in the feeling of deprivation, because it's a tremendous potential force, the question is how to work correctly with it. So if we work correctly with it in order to build society and connect women in order to achieve positive goals, then we'll be able to use this force correctly. Yeah. What I'm trying to understand is how to work with this force correctly, because usually deprivation leads to struggle. Because on the one hand, a woman can manage her own home, but she can't manage a country. Why? Because this is a woman's character. She has to see the field within the boundaries of which she can manage things. And a country for her, it's, she can't, too big. Yeah, give me my space, my small domain. There are people that are made to manage a kiosk and not a big restaurant. And there are those that For them, it's to manage a city and a country, and so on and so forth. A woman usually likes feeling herself safe within boundaries. Like, she goes into some place, builds herself there, and that's her home. But we have to help her feel and build such systems that are all managed by many women, so that there will be many such areas, homes, also countries, and women manage all these things, and men help them. Help them manage. So, now you mentioned cooperation. What's the contribution of women to the building of society, and what's the contribution of men, and how to cooperate correctly? Men have to listen to women. In what way? Like the Creator told Abraham, listen to what Sarah tells you. A woman, what she says, and usually in every normal family, what the woman says, eventually this what happens. A child also feels that this is how it's supposed to be back from the days of his mother. It exists in each and every man. For him, his mother is always superior to him, meaning she has certain wisdom. He came from her. She gave him life. She positioned him. She sent him off into life. He feels that what comes from mom, this is how he's supposed to go. And afterwards, the right, wise woman replaces his mother. I wrote down something that you said, that the problems that we see in Israeli society, the division and everything, that men can't arrange the country because for them it's all play, and women can't arrange the country because they feel natural hate toward each other. So men and women all have their shortcomings, and that leads us to a state like we have today, where we really feel that our country is falling apart, and it's painful. So, looking into the future, how should the female and the male forces start building society for the better? Education. There's no other way about it. It's only if women and also men will get the right education of how to be correctly connected among themselves and between them. What's the correct connection between men and between women, and how does this lead us to a prosperous society? The correct connection is that I'm not connected with others for my own benefit, but for the benefit of others, for the common benefit. Can you explain? The common benefit is the benefit of everyone, that I care for everyone, instead of caring only for myself. These are well-known and simple words. And in this formula where the connection with the other is not to my own benefit, that like I use someone else like in business, what does it mean that I connect with someone else? I took her as a partner because I can increase my revenue, for example. But if there is a connection that's to the benefit of others, what is it like? You said that by nature, a woman cannot connect to another woman. You said that there is natural rejection, natural ego. So women, when they're connected, what does it look like if naturally they reject each other? It all depends on education. What does this education have to give them? We see that they're even education, meaning that men and women have to understand that the connection benefits them in a way that it's worthwhile giving up our small ego. What kind of benefit? Prosperity in terms of family, health, everything. We see that this is also how it was in ancient societies. There was a man, and he had several women. Several women, 5, 10, as much as he could buy. So he gave this as an example that women can connect because they see a benefit that's greater than their own personal benefit. Now, if we project this on the Israeli society, you're saying that men and women, that people actually have to develop the ability to connect with each other, even though that it's not natural, in order to create a greater benefit for society as a whole. So this is a real revolution in terms of a person's way of thinking, his attitude towards others. But they know that by this, they build a society where everyone will have everything, where everything's open, that there are no problems. Health, ecology, economy, you name it. Women, and also men, can arrange the entire world for themselves this way. The only question now is education. So, practically wise, suppose a woman says, okay, I have to organize society in a certain way, somehow because I see that I lost control, like you lose control at home. I lost control over society, and I would like to organize it, form, shape it, because really, a woman, she organizes, forms, shapes everything at home, and it enables the children to develop, her husband, also she herself develops as a result. So what does it mean right now to shape the Israeli society? Practically wise, I, together with other women, what can we do in order to start shaping our society? First of all, it's education. It's not about doing. It's about building ourselves. Each has to shape, form himself through national education. As to how can he connect with others? How does he form and shape himself so that he can connect with others? And that everyone will feel that the connection between them determines the well-being of the entire nation. And how by that or in that can they prosper and advance? You have to learn how to do it systematically. It's not a problem. We have lots of materials about this. And it's something that exists at the very essence of the Israeli society from thousands of years ago. And I really hope that eventually the time will come that we will realize this. When women develop their ability to connect with each other in order to advance society, what should they be careful of on the way? Hate. That still the women that don't understand will act against them in hate. This is also what we feel against our organization. But both religious and seculars, men and women, doesn't matter from what factions or denominations, everyone, including everyone, can come, enter, and become a part of this new society where the only thing that's taught is love another as yourself. This is actually the code that this new society lives by. Yeah. So suppose we begin such an educational process, we have a more advanced society with a female force that's working positively, the male force working positively, and everyone's advancing toward love another as yourself. How do women contribute to such a society in what ways that we don't see today? Every woman, let's say, in this kind of country, let's call it a country. She feels obligated to teach her husband, raise her husband, and especially her children, especially her boys, to how to correctly connect with others. And if a woman wants that, if the wife wants that, her husband will want that too. And if it's in an entire country, all in all, a country consists of families. Yeah, but what Nitsa will contribute to her family will feel. But Nitsa and the rest of the women in that future country, all in all, what will they contribute to the country? Connection. Connection between everyone. And of course, the children will be a part of it, and the men. If women want to, the force of women makes things turn. So the female force is directed at one thing, to generate the system, the network of connections within society. And this what you call stability. Yeah, it's not economical stability or... No, it's... a result of, it says, due to righteous women, the people of Israel came out of Egypt. It's not about Egypt from 3,000 years ago, but it's what's happening now too. That thanks to righteous women that demanded justice, connection, the people of Israel rise above their ego, everyone, and connect, come together. And this is how they come out of Egypt, out of this bad feeling, bad attitude and everything. So, just to see that I get it. Men, their problem is that they relate to everything as a game. Women, their problem is that they naturally reject each other. If every woman in this future society becomes like this inner engine that puts pressure, even without words, that simply generates this inner pressure on the men around her, for them to come closer to each other and stop the ego game. Suppose in the country it's very clear that the ego games that men are playing are taking the country apart. So if from beneath the surface, this is the picture that I have, that it's like this underground force that comes from women that puts pressure on the men to stop with the ego games, suddenly, because of the female pressure, men start coming closer to each other and stop destroying the country. Of course, like children under their mother. So the female force is like a nuclear power plant that generates energy that later on you can do many positive things with. But the generation itself comes from the desire, it's the power of the desire of women. Yeah. And what happens to the male ego then? They'll act according to this guidance. So what will be the men's contribution? I understand the contribution of women and connection and everything. What will men contribute to society so that we can evolve together to a better place? This is what will happen. What do they add, actually? Action. What kind of action? Connection. So a woman says, let's connect. She pushes all the men. Every woman pushes her man to go and to engage in connection. And he has to connect. Yeah? So she expresses her desire for connection, and he is the one that realizes it in practice. Yeah? So it feels like two elements, like molecules, atoms, like male and female, plus and minus. It's like you put two magnets together, they reject each other. So the same way two women reject each other. If you put two men together, they can kill each other playing war games, starting with kindergarten and until their last day. But If you correctly combine all these things together, then you can make it so that every such female element will put pressure on the counter male element to act correctly, and that balances out the entire system. So because of the thrust, because of the pressure, because men are afraid of women like they're afraid of their mothers, this activates the entire system and they connect. Yeah, behind every successful man, there's a woman. Everyone understands that. That's how it is. So can we define what is success in tomorrow's world? Behind every successful man in tomorrow's world, there's a woman that pushes him toward what? Connection. A woman herself can't do it. The men have to realize the connection, but because the women are putting pressure on them, like a mother standing behind him saying, do it. I'm telling you, do it. Last question. What kind of benefit will a woman get from the feeling of this connected society? What do you mean? That society is prospering, flourishing, that everyone is in wholeness, perfection, peace, that we don't have these terrible things that are happening in society. I think first and foremost, this is her benefit. So all the problems that we're dealing with today, like different feelings of deprivation and other feelings, will disappear because society... So, I think that our summary for today is, society can flourish and prosper if women will push men to connect correctly and everyone will benefit from that. Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Like unaware children. From my Facebook page, Michael Lightman, April 16, 2020. Like unaware children, we are growing into a new state. A great ascent is ahead, but we can't see it from our current position. The deep decline humanity is experiencing is a sign that the next ascent will be equally high. To the extent that we are now confused, anxious, and disoriented, so we will be conscious, confident, and focused when we achieve our next level. The key to rising to the next level of humanity is human connections. We will achieve what is awaiting us only when we form unions and bonds on levels and depths that humanity has never seen before. Being set apart and forced to stay home helps us reflect. When we emerge from isolation, we should focus not on resuming excessive consumerism and abusive competition, but on weaving a net of mutual responsibility and care among all people. This net will form the basis of humanity's ascent to the next level of existence, where we are safe, caring, satisfied, and happy. The awakening of the point in the heart. Comment: at the present time, the so-called point in the heart is increasingly awakening in people. It would seem that all the pleasures of this world, together with the latest technologies, are at our disposal, but a person is numb to everything. Answer: the fact is that a person wants to know what is behind these technologies. Still, life has its beginning and end, and it is so incomprehensible. We begin to contemplate: who is managing us, how, why, what is happening to us, and where are the causes of these phenomena? A person must know this. He cannot roam about all the time without thinking and knowing the buttons to press. He wants to understand a bit more. Such hopelessness, such lack of understanding of life, and such lack of control disturbs him, of course. Look at how quickly the coronavirus is spreading today. The whole world is standing up. What can they do? Nothing. And look at how small we are as humans in the face of this crisis. You can do anything with us. Therefore, we would like to know, what force are we under? What system controls us? What should we do with ourselves, with life? All these uncontrollable things, such as viruses, volcanoes, and hurricanes, awaken a person. We see that in nature everything happens according to certain laws. What are the laws of my life? I want to know this formula. Maybe there is, and probably it is true that there is definitely some parameter that I can change somehow, and with its help, influence my destiny. Comment: suppose a person leads a normal life, and suddenly this point in the heart awakens in him. Your teacher, the great Kabbalist Rebbesh, speaks about this in his articles in a harsh way. When a person receives into his heart a part of the soul of Kedusha, holiness, and the soul wants to be a giver, and the will to receive does not give it the required forces, then the will to receive itself takes no pleasure in life, since the desire to bestow does not let it rest. Each day, it makes it see that if he lives like a beast, this is not a life, when his only needs are worldly lusts. Rebbesh, concerning suffering. My response: a person fills himself with all kinds of small pleasures of this world simply so that he will not have to ask for more. Like, for example, a small child is given something in order to distract him from serious problems. This is how we live. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 2nd, 2020. Above hatred, with love. Question: what determines the pace of our advancement in the Kabbalah? Do we have to know what the pace is and to feel how we advance? Answer: the closer we get to each other and build the connection between us above the separating egoistic forces, the faster we will advance. The egoism in us will continue to grow, divide, and distance us from each other, and we must draw the upper light and, in this light, build the connection between us above our egoism, with the property of bestowal. It turns out that we will be in a field of hatred below, and above, in a field of connection and love. These two opposite fields will create the intensity of the revelation of the Creator in us. We must get closer to the state where we build two systems, two fields, two planes. In the lower plane, are our egoistic relations and desires and everything that belongs to the repulsion we feel from each other, while on the upper plane, we develop our relations differently, in the form of love and yearning for each other. Between these two planes, by placing them correctly one above the other, we begin to reveal their common source between them, the Creator. This is what we must do. We are now approaching it. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 22, 2020. The Creator hears all prayers. Question: it is said that the Creator hears all prayers. What does it mean? Answer: the Creator hears all prayers regardless of what level a person is at or how he evaluates himself, as higher, lower, average, it does not matter. If his request is to come closer to the property of the Creator, then he summons the upper light that corrects him, and he assents. Remark: it turns out that there is some absolute, higher force, a primary source, energy. I can evoke this energy as I desire to be like it. However, I don't know what this force is. My comment: for this, you must pray, that is, you need to find out who you are and what kind of energy it is, how different you are, and how you can turn to it, how you can raise your desire to become like it so that it affects you and corrects you. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 1, 2019.